The wind of God. It's even better. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. We are about to have it again. Burn!
Shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital of Canada. It is also the home of the Paul Della Lana School of Public Health. And these are the same people at the University of Toronto that brought to you SARS-CoV-1, which apparently was in early 2000s. I can't remember the exact date. So it stands to reason that... Since this was the epicenter of SARS-CoV-1, which was the SARS pandemic, stimulation, that most people barely remembered. I do remember, because I remember going to certain hospitals for deliveries and having maybe someone at the front accost you for maybe hand sanitizer. I can't remember, but... I also remember listening and trying to figure out what the infectious disease specialists. There was a couple of them at Mount Sinai in downtown Toronto that were always on the news commenting on things like Zika and some of the other so-called super contagious diseases. And I believe one of them allegedly died and just disappeared off the scene. But I also remember just not being able to understand the exact danger that they were trying to portray. And I just also remember having a problem with their stories, even back before I was a fakeologist. So there was something about them that didn't make a lot of sense. And they also had sort of a bizarre look to them, as if they weren't quite real doctors, even though they were the so-called experts in Canada for disease, infectious diseases. But I had no reason to doubt them. They just seemed odd, and the story seemed strange. And, of course, now we have SARS-CoV-2, COVIDs, COVID-19, and we have our huge Ontario Science Advisory Table that tells the premier, the politician, exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, based on their models. Now, there's no accountability for these models if they don't come true. Normally, if someone says the world's going to end in a few days or a few months and it doesn't come true, we usually call them Chicken Little. If they do it one time, shame on them. If they do it another time, then shame on us. And, of course, now they're doing it another time. None of their dreams of mass casualty have come true, yet we still are deferring to them. The politicians are still deferring to them. And it makes sense, at least in Toronto, Ontario, because, again, that's where this whole thing was started back the first time. So we are definitely a branch plant country, and clearly the leading branch plant for Johns Hopkins in Baltimore is in Toronto, at the University of Toronto Paul Della Lana School of Public Health or Epidemiology. Let's look that up. Paul Della Lana. Let's see what the great Googs has to say. Paul Della Lana is a Canadian entrepreneur, philanthropist, an amateur racing driver who's currently driving for Aston Martin Racing in the World Endurance Championship. He is featured in the documentary The Gentleman Driver about non-professional drivers. He is the founder of Northwest Healthcare Property Real Estate Investment Trust, that's a REIT, which owns and manages medical buildings in Canada. In 2008, he donated $20 million to establish the Della Lana School of Public Health, the U of T. In 2018, it was announced he was making an additional $20 million gift to the school. And that's about it. Not much more to this guy. In other words, do we really know who this is? Interesting. Interesting from a diabetic family point of view. The School of Public Health was founded in 1927 and was home for 50 years to Connaught Labs, a manufacturer of vaccines, insulin, and many other pharmaceutical products. Having grown to be the largest cluster of public health, click on here. No, doesn't come through. Looks like the main thing about public health, which is what I said, is sanitation. Hygiene, sanitation, that has got to be the number one contributor to human health in the history of the world. Now that we know that you shouldn't settle or live amongst your waste, pretty much saved a lot of lives. Water treatment, sewage treatment, which basically controls diseases such as typhoid. Typhoid is a disease caused by Salmonella serotype typhi bacteria. Interesting. So they're saying it's contagious. Is it really contagious if it's really found in sewage? Contagious implies that it passes from person to person, but it's more an environmental disease, which comes from your environment. So if something jumps from the water to you, does that make it contagious or just transmissible through water, which is the universal conductor of just about everything in the world. Interesting. So there you go. Looks like the rabies vaccine also might have come out of this area, although it attributes it, well, to the procedure of Louis Pasteur. But maybe rabies vaccine came out of here. Apparently at 4 Queen's Park Circle, which is where our Parliament buildings are for Ontario. Anyway, that's interesting reading. If you want to know about what's going on today, you should always read your history. And as jaded and as controlled as Wikipedia is, it certainly is the fastest, quickest access to information you can find. But keep in mind, the military is the one that mainly edits Wikipedia. Who else would have time to adjust things? And you'll find if you put anything counter the narrative on Wikipedia, it will be reversed within minutes, especially if it's in an area that's under high public discussion at the time, like COVIDs and public health. I'm sure that the military or the NGOs or the think tanks all have assigned pages on Wikipedia. So, for instance, if somebody tried to edit this page, they'd get an email trigger with the change, and then they would probably just immediately click in their email, reverse or revert, and it would go back to whatever the official story is. So that would be interesting if you went in here and tried to make a change. All right, we broadcast here Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And yesterday we missed out. Life does get in the way of having a daily show. So I don't want to commit to a daily show and be beholden to everyone here, mainly because it's difficult and I only have so many hours of the day. Plus, I want everyone to know I do the audio chat here and there, and we've had such a great gang doing audio chats. It's really been fantastic. So I spent at least an hour yapping today on the audio chat, and if you want to be involved in the audio chat, just go to fake11.com/discord and join our Discord. Now, make a note, fake11.com/discord, for the simple reason that Discord can be deleted. It's owned, maybe about to be owned by Microsoft, so if they take away our channel, you'll always be able to use the forwarder to get to that. But of course, everything should be linked at fakeologist.com/blog, or you can also go to fakotube.com. And I see tonight, who do I got on? FakoTube has 78 people online right now using 4 different types of devices. And it's a pretty good site, if I do say so myself. The developer is very active. I am trying to get other people using this software, because the more people that use this script, the more resources and time and improvement he can put towards it. So I'm actually going to mention this to Kevin J. Johnson and Chris Skye, the two leading Canadian campaigners against the tyrannical dictatorship here, because they've both been thrown off their respective platforms. And it's a real problem keeping moving. So I'm going to tell Kevin J. wanted to come on my site. I don't really have space or resources for it. I might give him a key to do some live streaming just for fun. But then I know he's going to bother me if there's a problem with the site. So I don't really want to get involved in tech support for somebody else. I can barely keep up with my own stuff. But I am going to tell him to contact the developer of FakoTube and get it going for him, because overall, I think it's a pretty good site. The only issue is I can't get you guys that are listening to gravitate towards it. I ask, I beg, and I plead. And I know we've got 2 people on Twitter, 3 on DLive tonight, and 1 lonely person on the YouTube channel. I got to get you guys on FakoTube because it's a more impervious site. And it does have a chat. And I think it is working. Let's see here. I don't know what this 347 is. I'm going to just say hello here in our chat and see if it goes through. And it didn't go. Oh, there it is on the top. Hello. Well, there you go. I can load more. And it doesn't load anymore. But yeah, come into the FakoTube chat. Give it a try. I see a Barb on here because her little light is lit up. So she is live here on the chat. And it looks like here's a list of all past chatters, but they're not actually online right now. Or they don't have their chat working. So there you go. Come into the chat. Come to FakoTube. That's where you should hang out. I might even try live streaming from that on my phone. And let's say hello to Napoleon. Fast track literally to the top. I can't remember what that's referring to. And good evening, Napoleon. Who likes YouTube, according to this graphic here. Now, I'll talk maybe for half an hour tonight. Let's go over to the main blog, fakeologist.com/blog. That's where I do my posts. Then I have to type this in, fakeologist.com, and see what we got here. See what I've been yapping about. Let's see if Dr. Vernon Coleman has got anything to say. He's on brand new tube. A syringe full of death. My God. I can play a little bit of Dr. Vern.
I have learned many things in the last 12 months, but the one thing I've learned for certain is that there are far more lobdotterels, joltheads and lobcocks around than I would have thought possible. There are, it seems to me, many truly evil people in the world, of course. Those such as Bill Gates of Hell and Enos Schwab, the man with less brain than a cotton bud.
So he's picked up on all the memes or all the pet names for the protagonists in COVIDs.
I knew about them. They hardly hide away. But it's the number of lobdotterels, joltheads and lobcocks which has astonished me. These are the numbskulls who wear their masks, going out of their way to purchase and wear pretty coloured ones, and genuinely thinking they look good in them. And they are the half-wits who queue up to have an experimental jab which they don't need and which won't do what they think it will do. If you're not a fan of Victorian vocabulary, by the way, the more modern word dickhead will do just as well as any of dickhead. Those I used earlier. The bottom line is that anyone who wears a mask and has one of the COVID jabs needs locking up for their own protection. And then there are the jab drummers, the celebrities who are so willing to share their vast knowledge about medical matters and their noisy, ignorant certainty that the COVID-19 jabs are wonderful, safe and effective. It seems that everyone, from the Queen to Lenny Henry and the Archbishop of Canterbury to Dolly Parton, is now considered to be an expert on jabs and jabbing. Medical experts Meghan and Mrs. Meghan are helping to promote the jabs, though I'm surprised they found time to notice that anything was happening outside their sitting room. I wonder if any of these people know that recently vaccinated teachers at a school in America have been told that they can't go back to school until more is known about the vaccines. And the clinical trials have been completed in 2023. And of course the internet influencers in search of a little free publicity and a nice big fat taxpayers paid fee have jumped on the jab bandwagon. They glibly and enthusiastically offer reassurance and comfort, and listening to them all you'd think that their wisdom was a result of study and investigation. They're so keen on the jab that they probably all have one of each type.
All right, that's Vernon. He's very good. Still think he is overall against vaccinations, but I'm not completely convinced of that. And no, I'm not going to find the one video because he does a few too many to search through where he was saying he's not against vaccinations, which I do find disturbing. Why? I don't understand, for the most part, why people still defend vaccinations that are questioning this one for the simple reason that I don't think there's any proof, or certainly they haven't looked into all the proof that is given to us, that they are effective at all. It's because certain diseases like typhus has gone away. Well, I just read that typhus pretty much was eliminated at the turn of the last century based on sanitation and sewage treatment. And it's a bacteria. A bacteria that you can catch from the water supply. Now, I guess you could say that, if you can get it from water, it's contagious. I guess you could say that. But I guess it's the person-to-person transmission that I sort of dispute. I guess in a way, bacteria can be contagious. But I think there's that confusion surrounding the idea of how one catches or gets bacteria in their system that's to be disputed. Now, certainly viruses, I think, are the opposite of bacteria in the sense that bacteria is all throughout our body, and it's just when it gets on the wrong side of the fence in certain strains of bacteria that cause us to react to it and recoil from the poison, and then we have to purge it or get rid of it through the body's various methods. All right, let me just go to fakeologist.com. So I just initially played at the beginning of the show the Kenneth Copeland, who is got to be my favorite minister, and he almost has these two little teeth here that have that fang wolf-like look. I don't know if they're artificial or they're his actual teeth, but this guy is batshit crazy, but he is one of these televangelists that makes tons of money, and he's super entertaining. He definitely did the absolute best anti-COVID sermon, and it's chopped up among many different sermons on the same topic and into a fantastic mashup by the Remix Brothers. I think that's what they call themselves now. So they call him Little KC. And it's still my favorite COVID song of all times, although there are others these days since this has been going on for a year and a half. And incidentally, we are in day 400 and something of the 2-week lockup here in Canada. And it's, if you're not an essential worker, including public workers like bus drivers, one thing that I just find amazing is the empty transit vehicles that are being driven around at rapid rates, because I guess if you're a bus driver and your bus is empty, you can take those corners a little harder. But it is amazing. I don't think they really cut the service at all. So just about every vehicle might have 1, 2, 3 people in it for the most part, going down empty streets. And it just seems, it's such a bizarre idea that, of course, a normal business, if they had no customers, would cut back the service, but not public service. It just keeps on trucking. We got tons of people in public service that are making full salaries. And yeah, bus drivers in Toronto make 6 figures in the same range as cops and firefighters. It's really a testament to their fantastic union that, of course, is easy to stand up against the public purse, because the public purse strings are not really controlled by any individuals, and if they get too much opposition, they just get shut down or bribed off. So there's really no protection between the taxpayer and the public sector unions. Obviously, the balance of power has long since passed to the union side. And I don't begrudge them as a union guy, but it's definitely way out of whack now. I think even a bus driver would admit that, and they even had token collectors that collected the watch people drop money into the little box to get on the subway. And those guys made 6 figures. And with the advent of camera phones, many of them were caught asleep. In other words, they're not even looking to see if you're putting the right amount of money in the box. And I would dare say that most people do put the right amount of money, because most people are honest. And even if you didn't put the right amount of money, I doubt they would stop you. So do you really need anyone to count the change? I don't even know how they counted the change. I used to take the bus 40 years ago, and if you put a lot of loose change in, and I had a lot of loose change because I used to collect for the newspapers, how would they count all those nickels and dimes? There's just no way. I guess they could sort of go by the sound hitting the bottom of the box, but overall, it's I'm sure lots of people could rip them off. So my point is, I don't think we need them anymore, if they even still exist. But they all make over six figures, which is insane. All right, here we go here. The Starlink satellite constellation now has 800 satellites in orbit. And by the way, we do talk about things that are not COVIDs on the blog. Not much. We do discuss satellite NASA space fakery a little bit. And apparently now we have 800 satellites in orbit thanks to Elon Musk, who is the purveyor of all things phony science tech. Now, I'm not saying the Tesla is fake. I'm just saying that the idea that he's some genius that comes up with all these companies and he's involved in space travel is laughable. The guy's a clown. He's an entertainment figure. He's just trying to sex up the science meets technology meets industry. And because he is younger and he's portrayed as a genius, people might pay attention. But anyway, apparently he has blasted off tons more satellites to deploy internet from space, which to the average person should make absolutely no sense. Now, I don't know how high up these things are supposed to be, but the idea of you got to get the internet up to the satellite, so you have to use something super powerful to go to something orbiting around the Earth. It's not that big, according to them, and somehow upload the internet in real time as the requests come in from the downloaders. So it has to be shot up in the air with some degree of power. Nobody knows even how much power, from somewhere on the ground. And then it's on the satellite, and then the satellite points back down to Earth, and it has to have power from somewhere, and it's beamed back down to your receiver. Now, how does that make any sense at all? What kind of power would you need? Now, most strong radio stations, they broadcast from a transmitter tower, and they are rated by wattage. Now, I do recall some of the more powerful stations advertising as they are doing their radio station call letters that they have 50,000 watts of power. Now, okay, we're going to take a call now. Fakeologist.
7 seconds.
Fakeologist, hello.
Hey, Fakeologist, it's Walker. How are you?
Good, Walker. You're a proper phone person because you identify yourself. Your mother taught you well.
Right on, I'll relay the message to her.
Hold on, let me boost you up a bit. Make sure I boost the right one. Okay, so listen to this, Walker. I'm just talking about Elon Musk's satellite idea. So let me remind you that 50,000 watts is a lot of power. Now, my car, I have a rechargeable car. It takes 6,000 watts to charge at a time. Let me get that right. So when it's,
do you have a Tesla?
No, I just have a hybrid. I have a hybrid van, Pacifica.
Gotcha, okay.
I sponsor Canadian-made cars. I do believe in my own country now and then. So yeah, it takes 6,000 watts. That's a lot of power. The wire is very thick. And it's 6,000 watts an hour, and it takes about 2 hours. So it takes 12,000 watts. That's a lot. Now think about it. So if a radio station is broadcasting, say, at one end of Lake Ontario to Toronto, 50,000 watts will allow that signal to propagate probably 50 miles, let's just say. Now, how the hell do they get, say the satellite is I don't know how many miles up. It's supposed to be 100. What kind of power would you need just to send a radio signal, which is a complicated radio signal because it's being pulled by the user, up to the satellite? Then it's got to get on the satellite. The satellite's got to do something with it. And then it's got to have enough power to send it back down to your receiver. Where would the satellite get its power? Is there a power cord up there? Is there a power tether from the ground? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense because all you should do, and is what they are doing, is just probably putting a large transmitting tower like this one in the picture to transmit a long wavelength signal, just like a radio station, to your overpriced receiver. I'm thinking the only... So they even tell you that there's no way it could be a satellite because they say it's a U.S. service and it only works right along the Canadian-American border. Now, what satellite can be fine-tuned to just broadcast its image or its beams to the U.S. plus a little bit over the border? Doesn't make sense. How could you aim a satellite? It should be a much wider swath. And how would you include? It just doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if it's a transmitting tower, and that's probably what it is. Now, why would they make up the space story? Well, the main reason, I think, is because when people are told it's coming from space, number one, it sounds really exciting. But number two, one would understand that if it's from space, it would be very expensive. Therefore, that's why they're charging $500 for the receiver terminal and $100 a month for the service, which actually isn't, it's definitely more than the average internet connection. I personally pay $75 a month for my internet for unlimited, so for it to be an extra $50 to come from space is sort of reasonable and justifiable. But would you still want to pay it if it's just coming from an ordinary transmitter tower? Well, maybe, maybe not.
But. Well, there's other financial incentives, too, for this whole, and I completely 100% agree with you about satellites. And that does make no sense. And just think about, there's nobody who can go do maintenance on them, so they send them up and they just work perfectly.
Yeah.
And they're flying around at thousands of miles an hour, and they in this harsh environment, never getting any physical maintenance on them.
That's another point. Yeah,
but there's got to be financial incentives, like valuation of the company, subsidies from the government. I mean, they're claiming they're sending all these satellites up. Somebody's getting money to supposedly send all these satellites up, right? And so they might just be pocketing that money and building towers, you know, around the lake or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, in this case, I agree 100%. So that maybe now, if the government's already said they're willing to subsidize the rural areas, but you have to understand that it's a losing proposition all around just to blast. Just to put up a transmitter tower must cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to service 50 people in a rural area. Like, obviously, they never are going to recover their investment ever. Just the maintenance on the tower and all that kind of stuff. It's a losing proposition. Like, in Canada, we're used to the government paying for everything. So they would subsidize rural internet, but these signals never work well enough to be useful. And as I put down here, there was a company in Toronto that tried this with one transmitter. And they were charging a little bit, about the same actually, just to transmit into the city. But the company just couldn't make it. So they went under after a year or two. And they just had one transmitter in Toronto, but it just didn't work. And I think the main reason is it's just not... A transmitting tower just can't handle the high-speed broadband. It can't handle the request. And put on top of that Netflix streaming, I don't see how it could work at all, personally. I'm not into networking, but it would be It would be a huge problem. And it's the internet wired is not even that good. I actually have two wires coming to my house. I use a dual system here. And it's still not very great, to be honest with you. So how the hell is this going to be reliable?
Have you ever seen that T-Mobile commercial with where they talk about how the whole world is connected? And you know what I'm talking about? And the whole video is about how there's cables all over the world. They don't mention satellites one time, but they just talk about the hundreds, I don't know, thousands, millions of miles of cable that just blanket the earth across the oceans and everything.
No, I'll look it up. Whole world connected.
I think it's a T-Mobile. I don't know. I have to look at find it for you. But I mean, it's made the rounds every now and then, just to highlight the satellite hoax, where it's the actual phone company basically saying everything was just a bunch of wires or cables. I should
5G
say.
For all. Oh, it's.
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's a 32-minute video. I guess that's not it. Okay. Yeah, no satellites involved. Well, yeah, I understand.
I'll find it.
All right. Well, they've always been trying to get high-speed internet to the rural areas, but of course it's an impossible task if it's wired. They can only do it from cell towers, which would be reasonable, but even in, like I said, in Canada, we have vast areas where nobody lives. So to put a tower up for two people, there's no way they're going to do that. It's not worth it. So.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds very suspicious.
So that's my piece on satellites. Satellites are a hoax. They're another fraud. It's a massive fraud. Rockets, satellites. If anyone has any question about it, there's tons of research on cluesforum.info. I post a lot of stuff on it. It's complete nonsense. I don't know why anyone would believe that in 2021 with all the available research one can do, especially since so many people are not doing anything. They're sitting at home on their computer watching Netflix. You could look into that. You should look into it. And when you unravel simple things like satellites, you can maybe start unraveling the COVID hoax. That's also a hoax, in case anyone here who's listening for the first time is confused. It's definitely a hoax. Now, I see on the site of fakeologist.com/blog, I have a couple quick links where I link to my posts on the blog with simple words. So the words polio, clips, ill, sick, leak, they're all attached an addenda to fake11.com/. And you can see some of my favorite posts that you can pass to your friends and family if you just want a quick little blurb of information on those subjects, including contagion is another one. I should put that up. CM for contagious myth. Yeah. So Walker,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So what's the vibe like with, you know, your family members, friends, coworkers and stuff about what's going on? I mean, are people kind of getting at their wits' end? I mean, what's your take on the situation up there in your province?
Well, I have done an informal poll. I have two golfers in my family. And I was sort of bugging them about the fact that the golf courses are officially closed. Now, the weather hasn't been that great, so there haven't been too many missed golf days. But initially, when the beginning of this one-month lockup went into place, golf courses were allowed to open. Now, I don't know if there was some... There was a bit of blowback at the beginning of this, because, number one, he said the police would have the quote-unquote power, I don't know where he got it from, to pull people over and ask where they're going. Now, all the police forces that I know of, or most of them, just said, we're not doing that. And then he also said that the playgrounds would be closed. So he got pushed back, and then he reversed himself, the premier did, within 48 hours, and then he started crying, allegedly, on the third day, because he felt so
what
bad.
A bitch.
I know.
What a little bitch.
I know. And then I think in the same time, he also closed the golf courses because they were saying, well, if you're closing the playgrounds, but you're leaving the golf courses, which of course are playgrounds for old people, that doesn't work. So he then reverse flipped it and he opened the playgrounds and closed the golf courses. So that said, I have two golfers in our family that they're bored out of their minds because they're locked down, but they were playing golf like crazy last year. And actually, I think some of them even got better because I used to golf too. And if you don't golf more than three times a week, you'll never get better. So I think they were actually getting better, which means you enjoy the game more. So I was kind of poking them saying, well, what are you going to do now that the golf courses are going to be closed all of May? And May is a great month to golf because actually it's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's just right, Goldilocks. And I'm kind of prodding them and to see if now they're starting to understand that this is getting more tyrannical and has nothing to do with health. But neither of them, and this is day 400 or 500, it doesn't seem to faze them. So they seem to be fine with it. I did ask the question, well, what about Texas, Florida, and about 10 other states? How come the virus isn't deadly there? Are Americans just stupid? Are they extra careful? Is it the vaccinations that we're told make the difference? They have no answer. They have no idea. They just said, I don't know. Okay, you don't know. Do you want to know? Do you want to look into it? So,
Do you think they even have an idea that it's more open up around the world? Or do you think the TV's telling them that this is kind of par for the course?
Well, my parents watch American TV, so I don't know what American TV is showing on that front because the main states, I believe, that get all the press, New York City, New York State, California, they might think that maybe those are the states they're showing on the news. I don't know. So I am completely out of touch with what's happening in America because I don't want to hear that Texas and Arizona and Florida are all doing fine. So I've kind of tuned that out. That doesn't really make it to our border anyway. So I don't know. If I go to news.google.ca, which is where I get my news, what do we have here?
Because I'm wondering, like, California is just a 4-hour drive to get to a California city from where I'm at. And, 6 hours to, L.A., the city of L.A., the county of L.A. And I'm wondering what they're thinking over there. What do they think is going on over here? I'm not really sure because it seems to be I spend time in both places.
Yeah.
And it's totally different out there. The attitude is totally different. Are they just not – I'm just curious where they're getting their information and what would they perceive is going on here. Maybe they perceive it's opened up and a lot of people are getting sick and dying. Maybe that's what they're being told. I just don't know.
Well, if I just type in California as a topic on Google News, I'm looking through the headlines. I don't see, way down here, University of the Pacific opening vaccination clinics for all students. I don't see any COVID headlines from Google. So it seems like a normal set of completely boring headlines now. California has lowest COVID rate in America. Here's why. But almost seems like nothing's happening there. And I don't think most people look beyond their borders because they just don't think that Ontario... truck drivers fall under California's gig economy law, which I don't even know what that is. See, that's interesting to me, but I'll never drive to California in a truck. But it doesn't seem like COVID is a...
Get the latest updates on breaking news.
It's talking about COVID, according to this. Now, if I looked at the LA Times, let's see what's going on there.
I mean, even around here, though, it's pretty much open. I can go into a lot of places. I don't wear a mask anywhere. I've been going in restaurants, coffee shops.
You're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, but there's still tons of people. Probably the compliance is still 80% to 90%. Doing some ritual when they come in these.
But that's people, they want to belong, though. They want to belong. The young people want to be part of what's new. That's what it's about, I think.
Yeah. They're down with it. They are accepting this new way of being, where you're this mask is part of your human uniform, and they're just kind of down with it. Like some people, a lot of people are just accepting and they're cool with it, of all shapes and sizes and races and ages. It's like a way for them to all come together, you know.
To alive by wearing these masks. It says on the box of the mask that does not prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Sorry if you don't.
It says on the box of the mask that does not stop viruses.
This guy's in Arizona, by the way. I think he's in your area. You gotta find this guy. He's great. He walks into the belly of the beast, Costco, and starts blasting the people.
You guys are all given into a lie.
Have you heard of this guy?
No. Where are you playing this from?
Okay, this is on Instagram. His name is the Anti-Maskers Club. This is where all the young people are. This guy is great. His name is Ethan. He's fantastic. He was on the Kevin J. Johnson show, which you should watch if you're interested in Scandinavia. But he literally goes in with a megaphone and starts blasting them.
Hi. COVID is a hoax. Breathing rights are human rights. You don't have to wear a mask.
Hey, get away from here. I'm not sure why
you're COVID is a hoax.
Get out of here.
COVID is a hoax. Breathing rights are human rights. You guys are throwing away your freedoms by wearing these masks. All you're doing is throwing away your freedoms. Real men don't wear masks.
Yeah, of course not.
Real men don't wear masks.
What do you think of this guy, Walker? This guy's great, eh?
Oh, man, you know, that guy's awesome, yeah. He's got freaking huge stones. Yeah, if he's around here, maybe I'll see if I can connect with him somehow.
You should. This guy's great. Now, someone told me today that Bill Gates owns a big chunk of Costco. Now, I'll believe that Bill Gates owns just about everything, so I don't have a problem with that. But have you ever heard of that?
I'm not surprised. He's you know, him and Warren Buffett are buddies, and Warren Buffett's partner, this guy Charlie Munger, he sits on the board of Costco. And you know, there's a bunch of pictures of like a Warren Buffett, you know, flashing some Masonic hand signs and stuff like that. Plus he hangs out with Bill Gates. So, you know, this guy, and he's has enormous wealth. His partner, I don't know if Warren Buffett has interest in Costco, but
who knows?
His partner. So anyway, but they're all, you know,
they're all together. Massive. Yeah. They're all together.
But I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised at all.
It's the same part of the country. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that is, if you go to Instagram, I don't know why I like to say Instagram, you'll find the Anti-Maskers Club. That's Ethan. He also has, he's got a lot of, he was deleted off Instagram already, so it looks like he just started up again. He's doing some good work there. He's working his ass off trying to do this thankless job. I think he's got another channel as well. He's got Anti-Maskers Club USA. Is that the same one? Yeah, that's the same one. Instagram is the worst for searching for stuff. God, don't recommend it at all. But all the young people are on there. As you can see here, there's so much content.
Facebook stuff.
So much content on Instagram. It's crazy. Just going through some posts here. You can waste so much time on Instagram. It's insane.
Well, him talking about breathing rights reminds me that I was doing some research on this breathing rights and kind of thing. And you know what I found? Is that there is a group, at least in the United States, and they walk around barefoot, and they have been kind of advocating against this whole thing about no shoes, no shirt, no service at businesses, and saying that wearing shoes is harmful to your feet and that they want to be able to come in there barefoot. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, there's a whole argument that you should ground yourself. We need to be grounded. That's literally, we need to be grounded. It's part of our electrical circuit. So when we're wearing shoes, that's insulation. Rubber shoes prevents grounding. Now, personally, I like shoes because I don't want to cut my feet. And because people just throw anything and everything on the ground, I don't want to pierce my skin with a nail or a needle or anything else that's on the ground.
You have delicate feet. You have delicate feet because you've been wearing shoes.
Absolutely.
You know, if you didn't wear shoes, your feet would probably, you know,
yeah, I agree.
Start to feel strengthen up. You know, I bet you we all have like really weak feet.
I agree. I can barely walk on the beach on the, you know, the pebble part. It kills. It really hurts. But don't forget, if we didn't wear shoes up here in Canada, we'd get frostbite and all my toes would fall off. So I don't think that's going to happen. Now, down where you are, well, you'll burn your feet, but maybe if there's 2 feet of calluses on your feet, if you don't wear shoes, it might be okay. I don't know.
Do you do some grounding? I try to do some grounding.
I don't do grounding. The only time I'm out in my backyard is when I'm cutting the lawn. I'm really afraid I'll cut my toes off, so I wear safety boots.
Sure.
As you get older, you get careless, you forget what you're doing, and I'd hate to run over my foot. No, I go to the beach and I do obviously ground myself into the sand if that works. But I know you can get grounding pads for underneath your desk.
Huh? Really?
Oh yeah, it's a whole thing.
Idea of grounding, yeah.
It's a whole
grounding,
thing.
Connecting with the sun and the earth, and kind of, you know, just I'm not that familiar with the whole idea of the electric universe, but I'm open to the idea. It makes a lot of sense to me. Especially grounding yourself and, you know, kind of connecting with the sun.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too. There's lots of things that we're not told, and that's why they make sense to me. Because why would you tell something that might extend your life? That's not good for business.
Yeah. It's not good for business, nope.
But actually, it's funny you mentioned what's going on in Ontario compared to, say, where you are. And there's a blog, and part of the reason I do this show is I like to tell people about different sites that I go to, that you should go to. There's a website called Substack.com. I'm not exactly sure why they're so attractive to columnists and authors now, but I'm seeing more and more people on Substack.com. Well, there's one website there called oldnormalontario.substack.com. Again, if anyone knows why Substack is suddenly so great, let me know. But
it's not really a blogging platform. It's a little bit more geared towards people who actually write articles.
Yeah.
And then I think they might be able to monetize it in some way. And I think people publish books like one chapter at a time on it, I think. It's that kind of a platform.
Yeah, maybe it is. Okay, so there is someone called Old Normal Ontario. I don't know if I go to the bottom. Let's see who it is. See if they're identified. It could be Kate. Kate is a fantastic commentator. I think she's Canadian.
Have you considered doing a fakeologist book, like a coffee table book or something, a fakeology? I would buy that.
Would you? Not really, but,
9/11 photos, you know, these fake ads, just a bunch of fakery, you know, just in a coffee table form.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
You could have your commentary on it.
Actually, it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. Maybe I will. I know Tim Austin's really good at putting out books, even if they're only 20 pages, and he puts big letters, and he does sell them, and they're on Amazon, so it is bizarre. I just think books are so passe, but maybe
it's
just
missing from your media empire. You know, you don't have the publishing component of your vast, fakeologist media empire, you know?
Well, if anyone wants to help write a book, I will definitely put the fakeologist brand on it, and I'd be happy and not embarrassed to have a ghostwriter. So that'd be great. That's a good idea.
Yeah. If anybody wants to write a book, go ahead and do it. I would consider,
I will pay you in pirate coins.
Yeah, right.
And let me just see if my pirate coins are worth anything today. Then I'll take that back. Yeah, my pirate coins have lost about half their value, so might have to switch to WoW or something else. But what's Bitcoin? I would definitely pay somebody maybe something, maybe 50% of sales or something. Maybe that would be better. That'd be smarter. But this article basically questions Ontario, and let's find the damn article. Come on now. Don't be so smug, Canada. And he's just asking why Ontario is still in lockup when all these pictures of places around the United States, including the baseball game in Texas, UFC in Florida. Yeah, there's a few people wearing masks. And Governor DeSantis in Florida has got our Stanley Cup. And what else we got here? The Suwannee Magazine. Where's Suwannee City Council? I hate when they do this and don't say where's Suwannee City? Nobody knows where that is. Come on, guys. There's Kansas. They're all acting normal. There is Greenstown. I don't know where that is. Nebraska. There's the girls all hanging out from their sports team. There is somewhere in, Kentucky. Everyone looks normal. They're having a normal life. They're living life. So, yeah, they're just asking, what exactly is the problem with Ontario? Why are not quite neighboring states, South Carolina, basically the South, Colorado? I thought Colorado was still acting up, but no. Here's a graduation. Yeah, Tennessee, Texas, South Dakota. Now, they don't include Michigan, upstate New York, Wisconsin. Illinois. They don't include those Great Lakes states. And it sort of speaks to my thesis that this first COVID super crackdown is aimed at the Great Lakes states because they're the first set of states and provinces they want to integrate into the mega region, and they will do this area first, and then they'll work their way south if it works here, because I don't think there's any guarantee it's going to work. But if you want to find a more compliant group of mastards, don't go any farther than where I live. This is where it's at. This is where I'd start.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
This is where I'd start.
You got to get down to this U.S., man. Get down here, even during the summer, man.
I know. Yeah, and look at the Los Angeles Times. The only COVID story is appointments for first dose of COVID vaccine drop by half in L.A. County. So it looks like nobody gives a rat's ass about these things. And I read in West Virginia, that big fat governor is giving $100 cash per vaccination for young people. So maybe when he hits $1,000, he's gonna have a lineup on his hands. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope not, but I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, maybe
he's
not.
He's a criminal. That's criminal, man. That's so criminal. These things, you shouldn't even call them quaxines. It still doesn't get to the heart of what they are. It's a bioweapon that's being used to attack the human race, you know.
According to CBS News, you don't even get $100 cash. You get a $100 savings bond if you're between 16 and 35.
Come on, you're going to have to do better than that. I mean, I'd have to be, if somebody gave you $1,000,000, would you take the vaccine?
No, because I don't care about money anymore. I just care about time left. That's really all I care about, especially if they're going to take all my money. That's sort of the end game. I think it's going to be confiscated. So I don't care about money. I just care about time left on Earth. And I'm not ready to go because I really want to stick around and see how this plays out. You know, sometimes you want to stay to the end of the movie, even if it's really bad, because you put so much time into it. You just want to see how this is going to end.
So it's fucking a terrible movie.
Yeah. I just want to see how this one's going to end. And I just really want to try and keep my children away from the vaccination to the point where I've told them I don't even want them to get a job where they got to wear a mask all day. I'm going to help them get government money. I'm going to do my part.
You'll pay them not to get it.
I'm going to do my part to get them government money. If they want to collapse this economy, then why should we go down not being able to breathe? I'll just take the money and get ready to run like hell the other way. I don't really have any shame anymore in that, because I'm still paying into the system as a worker. There's just way too many people that are stealing from the system right now, and it could collapse just because of that. There's so much fraud, so much being spent all over the place. It's an economic tragedy that's being set up more than anything. So.
I totally agree. People are being, and prudent people are, like, you sound like you're a prudent, you know.
Saved all my life.
So you're getting screwed. I'm like that too. We're getting screwed, you know. They want to encourage this gambling mentality, free money, and it just drives the prices up on everything. And, you know, the prudent people are, kind of getting screwed right now. But I'm expecting this thing is economically the bottom's going to fall out, and it's going to fall hard. It's going to fall really, really hard.
Well, I've always said that the United States, southern United States in particular, if they don't stop this, then the whole world is screwed. The southern United States is just the only hope. I said this a year ago, and I'm not really sure how it's going down there, because, like I said, I know they're concentrating on the Rust Belt states. They have the least to lose because they're already sort of heavily dependent on government, and because they've shipped all the industries to China, so they don't have much to do. They don't have the weather going for it. There's no great reason to be up here in the cold. And so they're the ripest to be able to collapse into this super mega region. And here's Kate Wand. I didn't put this on FacoTube.
Since the 19th century, global nutrition levels have increased.
This video is pretty good. I left it on YouTube. I didn't pull it off. But she's talking about collectivism. And it's funny that she's talking about China, because I talked to a Chinese friend of mine who's from northern China. He's sort of Mongolian. And he was telling me how his grandfather was a nomadic farmer. That's how they farmed in the Mongolia area. They didn't own a farm. They just had a herd and they moved around. They're like Indians here. They didn't own property. They just roamed around. And when the communists came to play in the 50s, they basically said, you got to stay in this little area. And then what happened is half the animals died because they run out of food because they couldn't move around. And then everyone just starved. And he said 20 to 40 right. million people died in China when communism was imposed, which is basically they stopped letting you move, which is what's happening here. So he says that was real.
Would you call civilization a hoax? Modern civilization? I would call it a hoax. The whole kit and caboodle.
Mm-hmm.
That it's been, in the sense that it's been manufactured, that basically people were living like you just described,
mm-hmm.
and some people got together and decided, well, geez, we can't exploit these people very well. We better come up with this big con to, you know, suck them dry of their energy. And so they started building, you know, cities and roads and everything, really with the express intent of making it more efficient to just exploit people.
Yeah, sometimes I think people on the top are organized, and sometimes I don't think they are. I go back and forth. Is there really a great plan? Now, I think there has been a plan for about 150 years, but before that, I'm not really sure how organized they were. Like, I think North America was exploited just to get the resources, even back then, and just send them back to the king and the empire. So I think that, but I don't know how organized. I think we're in a 100-year plan, and now we're seeing technology really make it work, where before it was probably a lot harder to coordinate it on a worldwide basis. But with technology now, it's so easy. They can just run the same game plan in every country at the same time and make it seem like this is happening.
Yep.
But it really is technology. It's just technology has come along to a point where it's really easy to convince people of something, even if it's the most bizarre, impossible lie. You can just keep pounding them really hard. So yeah, I don't know. That's sort of a very philosophical, hard to get my head around concept. Is civilization a hoax? But it's,
I would say, like, my feeling is, like, they always, like, you're taught, or kind of the culture is that, like, everything is organic, you know, it just comes about. It's the natural order of things. And I've been thinking about civilization, and I think, you know, you kind of are led to believe that it's organic and that it's the predestined that humans were going to organize like this. But I just wonder if really there's, you know, not that it's been a 1,000-year plan, but just where people got the opportunity, they herded, you know, people who were living off the land, living simply, living in small communities, and they started herding them into cities. And eventually we get to what we, you know, where we are now. And it's really all to the benefit of the few. And then really, you know, it makes it much more easy to exploit any individual person and, you know, force them to work really hard to pay their bills. And then, you know, and then, you know, whatever, you know how the whole thing works. But mm-hmm. That's the way I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't really thought too much on that topic, but I know there's a plan and it's inactive, and I think it's still up in the air whether it's going to work, because people don't react perfectly to the way plans work out or worked out or thought through. I know they have contingency plans, part A, part B, but just let me play a little bit of this Kate video.
And malnutrition is waning. We have never had access to so many calories from so many different goods available to so many people at such low prices. The threat of famines has thus unsurprisingly faded. In the 1870s, some 142 people per 100,000 died due to famines. In the decade that just ended, that number stood at 0.5 per 100,000, a 99% reduction. Yet there is a paradox. It is in the period of rising nutritional levels that we observe the worst famines in human history. Prior to the 20th century, most famines caused by natural factors like climate or...
Anyway, basically she's just talking about collectivism. It just doesn't work. And I thought it was a good video. Here's another one. This is a website that is another Canadian website called muchadoaboutcorona.ca. This guy won't come on my show. He said he's too busy. That's fine. He seems to be a real person, and he said he's in correspondence with an ICU nurse in the Toronto area, and she actually has some believable stories about what she thinks is happening and what she is seeing. So this is worth reading. It seems plausible. And she's explaining how they come up with the ICUs are overrun. Now, that story is a 10-year-old story. The ICUs are always overrun because they're not that big. So if a lot of people get sick in, say, one house, which doesn't mean it spreads within the house. It just means they're all exposed to the same deadly toxins or malnutrition. It doesn't mean they're contagious to each other. But he said if one house of people get sick, they alone can overwhelm an ICU that only has 20 beds. And she also said things like, different doctors use ICUs differently. Some of them don't admit people to an ICU because they don't think they're critical enough. And others overuse ICU because that's where all the staff are. So there's lots of reasons. And it just goes to the book that apparently Bill Gates reads, is How to Lie with Statistics. You can literally manipulate the same numbers and just look at them in a different way and make your point, whatever way you want to bias it. And she said she hasn't seen really any correlation between increase in hospitalization and adverse reactions. Now, this part could be a lie. And she also says that because it's been a year and people have been boxed up in their houses most of the time, breathing into their masks most of the time, and we have a lot of Southeast Asians that are of dark skin, they're the number one, and people my age, 50s and above, they are more likely to be admitted because, number one, they're boxed in with their wives, they're breathing through their masks, it's been over a year, they most likely lost their job because they're at the low end of the wage scale, so they've been laid off, so they're therefore under severe stress. These are all the things that actually make people ill as opposed to a contagious deadly virus. So this is why more people now are being admitted. And maybe the number one reason is all the adverse reactions to the vaccinations, which are not all blood clotting and death. They could be just simple, I feel like dying. And I have talked to at least two people that took the vaccination and were on the floor sicker than a dog for a few days. And the cognitive dissonance there is they are saying, well, that means the vaccination's working. You know, it's crazy how people justify getting super sick, thinking it's good for them. It's not. It's the total opposite. And they've just been brainwashed with the idea of this of immunity, which is a big fat lie. You can't become more immune to drinking gasoline. That's really the way you have to look at it. If a snake bites you once, you will recover. You couldn't recover. But if it bites you again, you'll get just as sick the second time. So why the hell do you think injecting poison into you will give your body some kind of memory or a storage system, which doesn't happen? There's no storage team that lines up under your skin waiting for the next attack. It's not an army. It doesn't work that way. You're poisoned once. Right. It's almost as bad the second time. So.
Yep. They think about it like lifting weights or something, you know, where it's like you got to work hard and get some suffer a little bit, and then that's how you get fortified.
Yeah.
But this is stupid as fuck, man. These people, man, I feel bad for them, man. They're fucking insane. It's poison. It's straight up poison. It goes into your body. That's why you get pain and suffering, because it's
And it's poison every single time.
Every time. It's a tragedy.
And the reason why the second dose might kill you is because it's literally doubling down on the poison. So think about it. They probably are spacing out the poison, because if you take the second shot too quickly, You still have the first dose of poison that your body's probably doing its damnedest to get out. So if you double down and get another shot while you're just getting up off the canvas, you might be down for the count. Because it's the same old thing. It's not because your body's any smarter. No, it's just because you're already poisoned. So if you're already spinning because your body is trying to recover and you get another shot, it might be the last shot you get. I don't see, there's no logic in that either.
Nope. It's insane.
And you should read, anyone here, go to fake11.com/CM for contagious myth, or fake11.com/sick, or fake11.com/ill, and go look at those books. Read what makes you ill. And poisoning is one of those things. That makes you ill. Try drinking gasoline. See how far you get. You're not
anything Dr. Tom Cowan puts out. I've personally just read a bunch of his books, like four of his books.
Yeah.
And this guy's talking about health in a totally different paradigm, and he's totally aware of the fraud that's the modern medicine. So I recommend any of his stuff.
I agree 100%. Now let me just play.
I mean, it's good. I mean, it's good. This, you know, you're doing great work spreading this important information, because people have to know the truth before they can start to make better decisions. And
so that's why
it's, you know, what you're doing so important. And no, nobody could say you stood by and did nothing during this time.
I appreciate that. Well, that's why I come in for at least an hour or half an hour a day, just so I can get a counter message out. And it's probably less urgent for you guys down where you live, because you're not getting pounded as hard as we are on. And one of the other reasons, I can't remember if I said this at the beginning of the show, one of the reasons why it's happening in Toronto is the crazy public health psychopaths. They're all in downtown Toronto. They're the ones that did the SARS-CoV-1, the SARS thingy, in early 2000s. So these creeps are all still here. So they are fully, fully invested in spreading this lie throughout the world. And, of course, may as well do it in your own backyard, because if you can't do it here, then you can't really do it effectively anywhere else. So if you can't convince your neighbors of this deadly thing, so... And my sister, who's so on board, she's sort of in the medical field, she says she knows some people on this COVID-19 disgusting table. And, there's a lot of people on this table. I've shown it before. I can't remember if I quick linked it, but if you go look up the Ontario COVID-19 Science Roundtable, you got some of the highest paid crazy people ever all together. And they have an army of people that are working over the population, the politicians. And that's why I don't really blame our doorknob premier, he is a pretty regular type guy. I still don't blame him. I don't know if he signed up for this. I know he's not telling the truth because he's afraid. I don't think he's in it for the money either, because I think his family has money. So I know if you're a millionaire, you always want to be a multimillionaire, but is it really worth the incredible stress that he's going through? I don't think so. So he's basically doing exactly as he's told. And he's actually taken a couple weeks off. He's just, I think he's just hiding now. I don't know I don't know where he is right now, but it's not a
job. Can you imagine the stress these politicians are under? I mean, like the governors and shit. I mean, holy, not that I really have any sympathy for them, but I mean, damn, I mean, what a time to be freaking, you know.
Well, they're being blackmailed, though, at the same time, because they know nobody cares what they think about health issues. So this is a total end run around them anyhow. But on the other side, they're being blackmailed to say, listen, if you want some of the trillions, then you got to go along with it. It's pretty simple. You better just shut up and let the doctors make all the decisions and just do what they recommend. Otherwise, you're not getting trillions.
It's just how impotent they are. Yeah, they there's forces so much bigger than these, like, yeah, local politicians. I mean,
well, it's all about money, money, money. You want your roads paved? Well, most states don't have their own currency, so they need the federal fiat currency. That's how it works. That's all it is. It's as simple as that. You want your roads paved. You want a few things built here and there. You want whatever it is, whatever largesse that the unconstitutional federal government has, then you better just go along with it. Because if you go against this, the people are going to be against you anyway. They're all convinced they're all going to die. So how can you win? You can't. It's a no-win situation. So I don't have any ill will towards these people, other than the fact that they're still lying. Any one of them could break ranks and come clean. Now, they're going to be ruined for it, and they're going to be laughed at, just like you and I are being laughed at for this broadcast. But
what? Somebody's laughing at us?
Well, yeah, all those damn believers. But I want to play a little bit about, this is a private video that patrons of this little sweetie get to see. And I'm going to play a little bit of it. I haven't seen it yet. But if you just give $1 a month to different people, like I do, some of them actually have stuff behind the paywall, which I think is a huge mistake. But this person does a huge video every now and then to people that give her $1. So I recommend her, because she is beyond cute and super smart. So let's see what she has to say. See if it even works. You know, half the things behind a paywall, they don't even work. So this Vimeo video. Let's see if it works.
Got to start every video with a song.
Well, I'm wearing my Prince shirt, so it should probably be a Prince song. I loved Prince, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Prince was a conspiracy theorist, and they probably offed him. But he was a good dude, and he was like 4'9", and he was like hot as fuck. Back in like the 80s and 90s.
And Prince was probably a woman, so I don't know, it's... Why are people attracted to their own sex? It seems like it's a very strange thing, even when they're disguised. But have you ever watched What's-Her-Face, Walker?
I've seen a couple of her videos.
Her last video was... Cool. Did you see the last one? It was so good.
She's definitely nice to look at. Yeah.
Yeah, she is easy on the eyes. She basically spoke of the issue that you brought up earlier about what is going on in Ontario. And I don't know if you saw that one. Maybe I'll just play it real quick. Oh, by the way, here's another great video I put, thanks to Jan Eric, about glyphosate. I'm not convinced that glyphosate is the enemy of health, but I don't think it's helping. And it's actually registered as a antibiotic. Did you know that glyphosate or Roundup is registered as an antibiotic?
I did not know that.
Just the word antibiotic means against life. But what it does is it disrupts some of the plant processes to do with getting nutrition from the soil, and it poisons certain pathways of nutrition for the plants. Now, it's mainly targeting the weeds and disrupting the food process synthesization of proteins process for weeds. But, of course, it's indiscriminately sprayed everywhere, including glyphosate-resistant plants, which means those are the plants you want to grow. But those are the ones we eat. So the glyphosate still goes on these plants, but it just doesn't disrupt their biology enough to kill them. But we eat them. And the glyphosate goes in the water supply. It's recycled through that. It takes, I don't know if it's like the nuclear lie about 1,000 years, but it takes a long time for it to break down, whatever the chemical formula of glyphosate is. And therefore, we eat it. Even if we're eating something organic and it's sprayed with glyphosate-laden water. Unless your organic fruits and vegetables are sprayed with or watered with non-glyphosate water, which would be difficult if it's sort of just the main water system, then you're still getting glyphosate. And I really think it is why people look the way they do. I don't think people are gross overeaters. I think they're poisoned and they look poisoned. And who knows if the Quaxination Nation, which is what we're going through now, has anything to do with a covering up of this glyphosate epidemic in America, anyway, in Canada. I don't know if it's banned in Europe. I think it might be.
I think it's banned in Mexico.
Well, good, because I eat Mexican raspberries.
Tom Cowan talks a lot about glyphosate because he's a gardener also. He's got his own business, actually, where he sells, oh, yeah, like powders. And he talks a lot about, yeah, the harms of glyphosate, and he kind of groups it in with vaccines as just part of the poisoning that we're all experiencing.
And, yeah, and it's widespread because it's in the water supply and the food supply. And if we're all being poisoned in a similar way, that also looks like a contagious virus. It manifests the same way. If we're all going through something, it's easy to mistake that for something contagious.
Yeah, that's the heart of the scam, right?
That's
there.
The scam.
Yeah,
that's
you get poisoned, everyone gets sick, and then they tell you it's a contagious disease. And it kind of looks that way if you don't, if you're, you know, at first glance, it seems, oh, we're all getting sick. We're all transferring it to each other. But, you know, I think that that's hasn't been proven. I don't believe it, at least.
I agree.
It's the poisoning. It's the train theory. So I think I'm on board with it. Basically everything you say about health. I usually agree with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's my best guess. And
I think people might somehow signal to each other, like say I got poisoned and you were near me. You might see me get sick, and it actually might signal to your body in some way to start to prepare to be poisoned also, and you might have some response to that. I think that is something I would be open to, but does that make sense?
Sorry, I was looking at what's her face, so I got distracted. All right, I'm gonna play her last video. I think I played it on another show this week, but I can't remember. So I'm going to play this because it's 10 o'clock and I'd like to close the show out so I can retire and get my sleep, which everyone should, because it's one of the number one ways to prolong your life if that's what you're interested in. And if you're interested in health, and why wouldn't you be, because the whole world is interested in health right now, sleep is a really easy way to stay healthy. Let me play the show out with the gorgeous what's-her-face, and she answers your question as to why Canada, or where I live, Ontario, is just questioning, why are you guys so stupid, so cucked? And, yeah. Have you seen this one yet?
No, I'm not. I don't think so. I don't keep up on too much of the media lately. I've just kind of had enough. But I'll listen to this one now.
All right,
curious.
Let's close it out. So thanks for calling, and I know you were on some audio chat, so that's great too. Things are really alive. Oh,
yeah, everyone's really awesome on Discord. Has been really nice and friendly. I just signed up on there recently, so that's an awesome community you got going there.
Yeah, it's actually almost separate from the blog and from FakeoTube. They don't even go to the blog. They just live in the Discord. You know, I tell them, you know, we have a blog over here where I put stuff. I even do a show every night. They don't even go there. They don't even listen to this show. They're all in their own world. But they're having a great time and talking about all kinds of crazy things. So, yeah, it's a separate fakeologist community. So go there, basically.
Oh, Gaia told me that I'm MK Ultra though, because I questioned the shape of the Earth. So that's the only thing I want to mention about Discord. But that's okay. I'm not mad about it.
I don't know everyone's position on everything, but. Gaia is a very opinionated / controversial / polarizing figure, but he is for the most part right on top of most of what we say. So I don't have a problem disagreeing with him at any time, but he's actually mellowed in the last few years that I've known him. So, but he's not afraid to give his side of the story. So, all right, thank you for calling, and I'll mute now. We'll listen to what's her face. Take care.
All right, man, you too.
Thanks.
Dear Canada, this was Jacksonville, Florida last night. I think it's time you peeked outside of your igloos and admitted you've been bamboozled, because your country is being run by a man following in his famous father's footsteps. I'm just fucking with you. It's a conspiracy theory that Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son. And there's absolutely no evidence that he's a communist at heart.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, investing in solar.
While the rest of the world gets on with their lives, people here are still saying things like this. If they followed the rules, numbers would be low and there wouldn't be a lockdown. Pretty simple. What happened to the people of this country? I mean, we are truly the laughingstock of the world. We should change our national flag from the maple leaf to an image of the U.S. giving us an atomic wedgie. You people are softer than Premier Doug Ford's underbelly. And speaking of the unterrible Premier, Ontarians are the worst of the bunch. They're more removed from reality than the dude that thinks the stripper likes them. Literally, they're the dude who thinks the government loves them. I mean, we just witnessed some of the best COVID political theater to date, and the majority of the country thinks we just had a huge win. For those of you who don't know, our government threatened us with the implementation of a police state, and then after some imaginary backlash from the citizens, took it back and instead implemented paid sick leave. And the hashtag paid sick leave saves lives has taken off on all the socials. Paid sick leave saves lives? From what? Responsibility? Yeah, because that's what we need. More incentives for people to sit on their ass at home. This is an initiative that just so happens to be pushed by the same influencer shills who were supporting lockdowns and the decimation of small businesses all along. And of course, they'll pay people to go out and get tested, which will inevitably increase the case counts and keep this cycle going on indefinitely. As long as you keep handing out free money, these dumb fucks will be satisfied. So tell me, Canada, what's your next move? And I'm genuinely asking because Health Canada just released their stipulations for lifting the lockdown. They've stated that in order to lift the restrictions, 75% of adult Canadians will need to receive one dose of the vaccine and 20% will need to receive their second dose. So what's your plan if we don't reach that number? What's gonna happen if 75% of the Canadian population decides that they're not gonna do exactly what you want them to do? You gonna throw a temper tantrum? You gonna repeat the words, "You're the reason we can't go back to normal," like you've been doing all year? Or are you gonna put on your big boy pants, take your life back, and accept the fact that life has inherent risks and that your health is your responsibility? Genuinely curious. Why do you even want to be mainstream? What do mainstream people do? Are these people interesting? Was any brilliant person in history mainstream? Like, you think Tesla? You think Nikola Tesla was, like, grabbing some brewskis with the boys? You think he was like, "Yeah, let's get some beers with the boys. Let's hit up some clubs, get some pussy." No, he wasn't doing that. He was a weirdo. He's a loner.